Foundations, Lesson Number 14, The Laying On of Hands, Part 2. Roman numeral number 2 on our outline deals with the laying on of hands to accommodate an impartation of transfer. Under the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, sin was transferred to a sacrificial animal through the laying on of hands. Let me read to you from Leviticus 16, verses 20 through 22. These are regulations for the Day of Atonement. It says, "When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all the sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release it in the desert." Now, this stretches our understanding a bit. You can't see, hear, smell, taste, or touch sin. Perhaps you could see or witness sinful actions, but sin in and of itself is a concept. Here, sin gets transferred onto the head of a goat. If we're restricting our minds to the physical realm, this doesn't make any sense. So we have to remember, again, that the laying on of hands represents a partnership between the physical realm and the unseen realm. If you're interested in studying the Bible further on the subject of sin being transferred onto a sacrificial animal, other passages in Leviticus are listed on the outline for you to look up if you wish. Then, we also see that the laying on of hands is used to accommodate an impartation of transfer from a leader to his replacement. Numbers 27:15 through 23 says, "Moses said to the Lord, 'May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd.' So the Lord said to Moses, 'Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority so the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command they will come in.' Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and had him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him, as the Lord instructed through Moses." Then also Deuteronomy 34:9 says, "Now Joshua son of Nun was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses." In these scriptures, we see that Moses was instructed by the Lord to transfer some of his authority to the younger man, Joshua, and this was done with the laying on of hands. But as we've read in the verse from Deuteronomy, not only was authority transferred, Joshua also received an impartation of wisdom because Moses laid his hands on him. Lastly, I have two cautions listed, which is Roman numeral number 3. 1 Timothy 5:22 says, "Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure." It's interesting to note that here Paul instructs us not to be hasty in the laying on of hands, but he gives no explanation why. A few possible reasons come to mind. Perhaps we can be so zealous to see other people blessed and empowered that we fail to see or consider that they may not yet be able to handle the responsibility that comes with receiving such things. Perhaps the impartations would be better received under different circumstances or at a different time. Perhaps if people receive certain blessings too quickly, they will tend to treat them too lightly. In addition to these possibilities, others certainly exist. But Paul's instruction not to be hasty in the laying on of hands should remind us not to be flippant or too casual with the things of God. Let's remember to check with the Lord on what He would want us to do in all matters. Let's be sober-minded and careful as we minister to others. We may not understand all the reasons behind our need not to be hasty in the laying on of hands, but Scripture says it, so we receive it, we accept it, we believe it, we embrace it, and we live by it. The second caution pointed out to us on the outline is that in all the New Testament accounts of the laying on of hands, every single one of them, this ministry was carried out by someone of mature spiritual stature. Jesus, the apostles, Ananias, the prophets and teachers at Antioch, Paul, or the body of elders. I believe that's no accident. To put this truth in its proper perspective, I'd like to point out that just because the body of evidence in the New Testament shows us that it was people of mature spirituality who ministered in this way, does not in and of itself restrict others from this ministry. We should keep the pattern in mind, but Mark's gospel tells us that the laying on of hands for physical healing would accompany those who believe, not just those who are seasoned in the ministry. I've heard reports of children, when they received the baptism in the Spirit at a church meeting, going to their classmates and friends around the altar area and laying hands on them, seeing them also receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. I'm not saying that patterns are unimportant, but God is greater than patterns. He can do anything, for nothing is impossible with God. Amen. God bless you all.